Today's show is brought to you by the Old Firehouse Paracon 2018, Saturday, December 8th, located at the Michigan Firehouse Museum, which is listed as one of the most haunted places in Michigan. The address is 110 West Cross Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan. The convention runs from 6 p.m. till 12 a.m. with a midnight VIP ghost hunt till 3 a.m. Special guests include psychic medium Stephanie Burke, Tennessee Wraith Chasers Scott Porter, and paranormal researcher, author, and speaker John E.L. Tenney. Click on the link in the show notes for tickets and more information. And now let's get on with the show. There is something I have to tell you.
What is it?
This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast, coming to you from the top floor here at Studio 222.
Penthouse.
The penthouse. We are, what, 5 foot above ground? Oh.
Maybe. Yeah, where's the room service champagne and indoor pool?
The champipple.
Oh, man. I haven't had champagne in years since we went to New Year's Eve last year at the casino,
which is St. Ignace, Michigan. Almost a year ago.
Almost.
We got, what, 3 weeks to go or 2 weeks to go? And
time flies, man. This has been the fastest year of our lives.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if we did a recap for you guys wouldn't believe we've been to probably 50 different conventions, 100 doctor's appointments with my dad, and my mom, started a business.
Yeah.
Third season of the podcast.
Yeah.
Made the top in the top four podcasts in the world, paranormal podcast.
We were listed fifth in top 15 podcast you should listen to in 2018.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Been to Orlando, Gettysburg, Michigan, Sault Ste. Marie, Flint. Where else did we go?
Oh my gosh.
Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York. More places to come.
Yeah.
2019. You never know where you'll see us.
Next weekend's our next one.
Yeah. So tell everybody briefly what's going to happen and why we're doing the show today.
Well, a couple reasons why we're doing the show. First off, we are going to be at the Old Firehouse Paracon.
Yeah.
In Ypsilanti, Michigan.
I'm glad you said it right.
Well, I've always said Ypsilanti, and Dana corrected me one day. She's like, it's Ypsilanti, not Ypsilanti. So when I did the interview, I had to make sure I said Ypsilanti, not Ypsilanti.
All our listeners in southeastern Michigan were cringing. They're like, those dang Ohio people can't say our... Oh, I'm sorry. It's like can't pronounce anything.
It's
so
like going to
don't
Illinois.
Don't be offended. Mow me.
So... The Maomi.
Papa always said, Maomi. I'm like, it's mommy. He's like, I couldn't say it. Oh, man. Haunted fire stations. Okay.
You know, you think about it. I mean, a lot of hauntings are around tragedy. Mm-hmm. And, when firemen are the ones that go into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like hospitals.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Especially if somebody's in a tragic accident and they just, maybe pass away in the ambulance or something, take that back to the fire station, or life squad or rescue squad or whatever you want to call it.
When I was talking to some of the EMTs that I know, they mentioned all the time, there's ghosts in the back of the ambulances.
Wambulance.
The bambulance.
I need my bambulance. I'll never forget that call. But anyways, just also the history of dying in the line of duty, firefighters risk their lives every day. First responders risk their lives every day. And,
not even people that die at the firehouse. I believe in the interview we mentioned about the fire chief that's haunting the Ypsilanti Firehouse Museum.
Yeah. You know what's interesting too is that fire stations are always been like a haven, a safe haven. So yeah, if like anybody was in trouble, they know they could go there, you know, and safely. So I wonder if spirits too also, you know, congregate there. Maybe retired firefighters who passed away want to go back to the station because that was their second home. So
yeah.
So Joe and I found a list of some very cool, noted, haunted fire stations and firehouses.
And I noticed one of the fire stations are one that we went past when we were in Chicago.
Yes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. It was so cool because it was in Chinatown. And it was just that classic old fire station.
Yeah. Nothing like Chicago. If you guys haven't been there, you got to go this summer because, man, that place is, there's so much to do and see. So much history. So many ghosts are everywhere.
Yeah.
So this one is at Chicago's Fire Engine Company 107. It really interesting. It really not a ghostly apparition, but a mysterious handprint.
Oh.
So it dates back to April 18th, 1924, when a firefighter by the name of Frank Levy was washing windows at the fire station. So when he placed his hand in the glass, he told his friend that he felt like he was going to die that day.
Oh.
And it is such an eerie proclamation. The alarm went off and the firefighters went to fight a fire in an office building. 8 firefighters died that day, including Frank Levy. The next day, the firefighters noticed the handprint on the window that Frank had cleaned. They tried to wipe it away, and no matter what they did, it wouldn't erase. And one expert even brought over a special cleaning solution to do the work, but it didn't work. So the city official later verified that the handprint, in fact, was from Frank. And over the years, people had suggested removing the glass, but the firefighters didn't want to mess with the unknown. So it wasn't until April 18th, 1944, that a paperboy threw the morning paper through the window and broke it. Exactly 20 years to the day that Frank died. Is that not crazy?
When you're saying that, I was thinking, here they have this handprint that they know is a ghostly handprint, but they're still trying to wipe it off.
You know, like frame it.
Yeah.
You know, take it somewhere and just use it as like a high five or something from the other side. High five from the other side.
In El Paso, Texas, at Fire Station 11, there's one bed that everybody avoids sleeping in because it's been known to shake. You know, there have been people that try to sleep in it actually shakes violently. The bed covers get tugged off there. One firefighter managed to sleep on the bed for a period of months, but gave up after sleep problems and a mysterious cough that plagued him. So he was afflicted by the bed.
Interesting. So it must be like some spirit there. Yeah. It just doesn't want anybody to sleep in their bed.
When he switched to a different bed, everything was fine. His symptoms went right away.
That sounds like your bed, Joe.
Yeah.
Like your mattress troubles you're having.
Don't.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
That's like a month long story.
Okay. So here's one for Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I mysteriously disappeared when I was like 4 or 5 years old. Do you remember that?
No.
Like, my mom turned around. I was gone. Couldn't find me for like an hour.
Oh.
Panicked. They were combing the beach for me. They found me sitting next to some old man. And I remember sitting next to this old man. I was eating potato chips. And I don't know where the old man went. Might have been a guardian angel.
Might have been.
Could have been. All right. So Chesapeake Beach Volunteer Fire and Rescue Station number 4. Station number 4 was famous in its Virginia Beach neighborhood for hosting a haunted house. But the station was not only haunted during Halloween. It was believed that a firefighter named Benjamin Bishop, who died in 1970s, haunted the place and enjoyed every second of it. He was a prankster, always pulling the fire alarm and turning on the sirens. Sometimes the crew would witness their vehicle's door slamming on their own. Even pillows were thrown by the ghost. Since then, the fire crew have moved to a new station less than a mile away, but it turns out the ghost hates being lonely. The unexplained incident with the alarms and the new station led firefighters to believe that Benjamin also changed his residence. There he went with them. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know? Wouldn't it be cool, though, to, like, buy an old fire station and turn it into your, like, living quarters?
We could buy an old fire station and turn it into our ghost hunting business. And, oh, that's a movie.
That's right.
Wah, wah, wah.
In Fort Lauderdale, Florida, fire station number 3 was turned into a museum, okay? Mm-hmm. The ghostly encounters always stay with the firefighters who work there. So in the museum, the lights would spontaneously go on and off. The belongings would be thrown off the tables. They saw a mysterious face on one of the reflections in their TV screen. One firefighter, while working on a report, spotted someone peering through the window and thought someone broke in, but nobody could be found.
Okay.
So a firefighter did investigate and found that 28-year-old fireman by the name of Robert Knight died 11 days into his job in 1940. He was called to a fire, but when he stepped off the fire truck into a puddle, he was electrocuted by a down power line.
Oh.
And they're said that he is the one that is actually haunting the building.
Do you think that's why they now wear rubber boots?
When I went through EMT training, one of the things is you never run up to a scene, an accident scene, and you never run straight up to it. You actually walk in a big circle. So you're basically doing a scene assessment as you walk up there.
That's interesting. Because most people wouldn't think of that. No. Like, you see an accident, you want to go help somebody.
Yeah, but you don't.
Run right to the car.
You don't. You walk in a big circle until the scene is cleared. Then everybody can walk in.
Ah.
Yeah, see?
So smart, Joe.
I know.
Station number 1, Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Built in 1909, this fire station, now the Denver Firefighters Museum, saw its fair share of history. There's two spirits there, Tom and Caleb. Tom used to care for the horses that pulled the early rigs and now enjoys causing mischief. He's blamed for paper flying out of the printers, fire bells ringing for no reason. And Caleb, who psychics who have been in there describe as a young man who died by the museum, is supposedly buried under the museum supply space. Employers refer to the highly active area as Caleb's closet. No matter how many times they try to fix the floor of the closet, the concrete will never set. It's rippled and uneven as if it was disturbed. So in addition to these two spirits, other strange things that happen, like disembodied children's voices, mysterious footsteps. So that museum's been like a hotspot for ghost hunters.
Awesome. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Engine House number 35, okay, is a brand new building. Okay, and you wouldn't think that a new building would be haunted, but, okay, get this. The new fire station is built on the grounds of a demolished mausoleum that once housed 999 people. The city managed to relocate their bodies to a nearby cemetery, but it seems like the spirits still remain. The crew of Engine House 35 nicknamed the building the Crypt House. It's very fitting. A lot of unexplainable things happen there. Pots filled with popcorn will fly off the stove.
Nice. Into my mouth.
Yeah. Lights unplug themselves. The firefighters are left in the dark, basically. They'll be sitting there and the lights will just unplug themselves. When taking a shower, the water turns to cold water. This is kind of interesting. The mausoleum once housed 3 victims from the Titanic.
Shut up. Oh my gosh. They must have been like lived in that area.
Yeah.
That is freaky.
That's freaky because I didn't even, I did some research, I didn't notice that on the paper I have wrote down here.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like this running thing of pranks. So firefighters must play a lot of pranks on each other in the real world and afterlife. Okay. So are you good? Done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay. We got another one for you, Joey. Okay. So this is station number 3 in Frankfort, Illinois. Okay. Before station number 3 was built, the site was a home to a farm implement business. So the business was owned by Erwin Yuckner. I hope I'm saying that right, okay. who died of a heart attack in 1996. Firefighters believe that his presence still remains along with a slew of other spirits. Shadows are seen going in and out of ambulances. An angry cowboy stalks about. A blue apparition walks the halls at 3 a.m. Ghost hunters were called in to investigate, and to the surprise, the A&E paranormal cops were there as well.
Ooh, I never heard that.
We got to watch that show because I never heard of that
show.
I've
never heard of that
one. Sorry, guys. I know you're listening. But so along with the unusual case of mysterious footsteps, lights switching on and off, the spirits are not afraid to show themselves. And so one night, Lieutenant Ham, one of the firefighters, was watching TV. A full-dressed figure in black walked right in front of him. While sleeping, some of the firefighters wake up to find dark shadows, silhouettes looking over them, which is creepy. And then one night during an ambulance run, firefighters were about to close the huge overhead door, and it closed by itself. And ghosts never harmed the crew, but they're, you know, yeah. they're there. They make their presence known.
But I know you were just mentioned about how firemen like to joke with each other. There was a fireman, John McMesson. He actually passed away. And in Long Beach, California, firehouse number 12 is known as the Ghost House. Because they say that he's a refired firefighter who died of natural causes, but they believe that he is spending all his time in the afterlife in the fire hall messing with the firefighters.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? What else you got to do when you're dead?
He's known to pull a lot of pranks. He's known to move objects off shelves. He's willing to help his fellow firefighters when they lose items. Items will appear on shelving. He's known to wake the firefighters up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. But all around, he's constantly doing things like, but people have claimed to see both a white and a gray entity walk through the walls. One firefighter's wife claimed to hear a voice say, "We never meet each other, but allow me to introduce myself."
In the afterlife.
So he's a trickster ghost.
Nice. Interesting. Okay. This isn't paranormal, but it's very funny.
Okay.
Picture it. 1973. Your parents.
Oh, no.
My parents. Had a Volkswagen Beetle, right? And picture this yellow Volkswagen Beetle from the 70s. Mom with her bouffant. Dad with a cigarette in the hand. Go to the post office. They're coming home from the lake. Okay, so they belong to this lake, right? They were hammered. They were sloshed, is their term.
Yeah.
They were sloshed. They're coming down to Mainsville. They see that the mailbox is on fire. So in those days, there's no cell phones, right? They drive to 23 Station to tell them that the post office is on fire, right? The mailbox.
Yeah.
Now figure. My mom and dad, they're probably in their 40s.
A bit tipsy.
Sloshed, driving a yellow, canary yellow Volkswagen Beetle, which did like 35 miles an hour. They pull into the fire station. There's nobody there, right? So, the door to the fire station comes down on top of the Volkswagen and they're stuck there. The firemen had already left to go to the fire. They had to wait till the firemen come back to get the door
and explain to them that they're halfway in their fire station.
Drunk. Oh my God, how embarrassing. I can't even tell that story without laughing. How did they not see the firemen? They had to go the same exact route. They were probably too drunk. We were probably all 14 of us kids in the back seat.
But on that note, I got a chance to sit down with Al Dyer from the Michigan Firehouse Museum, where they're having the Old Firehouse Paracon 2018. And it's kind of cool because it's in a haunted location.
Yeah, and there's a couple really cool speakers that are going to be there.
Yeah.
There you have John Tenney and Scott Porter from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers and Stephanie Burke.
And Tim Woolworth. We mentioned in the interview. So let's get right to it. Got to sit down with Al and talk to him. So let's listen to the interview. And yes, I am here at the Old Firehouse in Depot Town, Ypsilanti, Michigan. sitting here with Al. Hi, Al.
How are you doing today?
Great. So you have this great idea to come up with a Paracon in a historic firehouse. This is awesome.
I
love the idea. When I first heard it, I was like, this is going to work great. You know, and just, now I've been in the town a lot. I used to do the Elvis Fest every year.
Yep.
You know, I was the photographer for them. And after walking around, and I've been in the firehouse a few times, when, like I said, when I heard about this, I was like, definitely, I want to be a part of it.
Cool. So, well, I'm glad to have you in.
Yeah. A little bit of history of the firehouse. When was it built?
The firehouse was actually built in 1898. It was in service as an active fire station until 1975.
Okay.
And then at that point, from what I've been told, it was sold to a private individual who was a plumber, had a plumbing business, ran out of the building for a while. And then in 1998, the building was sold to Howard and Norma Weaver, and they turned it into the Firehouse Museum.
Cool.
Howard had collected quite a bit of antiques and exhibits throughout his years, and basically, as you can tell by the main museum, this little firehouse couldn't hold all that. So in 2002, they built the other building, and this is where we're at right now.
Cool. Do you know of any deaths that have occurred in the building or around the building? To, because we know, definitely know it's haunted.
Correct. I've been told it's heavily, or how did she say it? She said there's a lot of energy in this building. As far as knowing me personally, knowing of any deaths, I don't know. I have been told through various sources, obviously, that there has been some deaths in the firehouse. I had an excellent opportunity yesterday to speak with Alonzo Miller's grandson's wife.
Okay.
So follow that chain, right? And it was a really good conversation because she came out and cleared up a lot of ambiguous details and facts to the point where she actually sent me Alonzo's death certificate.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's good because what it will do is allow us to accurately reflect the facts of what happened to Alonzo. But there is a leading theory that Alonzo did come back and started haunting the firehouse in 1941 after his passing. Talking to this lady, again, there was another firefighter that did die of a heart attack while at a fire. We're obviously on the corner of Cross Street and Huron, and I know since I've been here, there's been three or four accidents. So I think throughout the history, there's probably been a couple of people that have passed away in this area. Okay. Not to mention, we have a funeral home directly across the street.
Oh, okay. I've never noticed that before. Yeah. You know, I mean, I ask a question because a lot of people want to know, has anybody died in it? But hauntings, as we know it, don't have to happen at the place where the person has passed. You know, it's like theaters are always haunted or that. And firehouses are known because it's a welcoming place.
Correct.
And people love to gather at the firehouses. Mm-hmm. Have you yourself experienced anything?
So I am asked this question by a couple of different paranormal investigators that came into the museum early on, which kind of spawned this whole Paracon idea. And you have to understand, I look at things like this is a 120-year-old building.
Yeah.
It's heavy timber construction, wet plaster, lathe. Michigan's extremely variable with our moisture, our heat, humidity, temperature. So I look at like the creaks and the irks and stuff as more of a natural occurrence of things. One funny story about the things that have been seen is I have two young ladies that work for me, and they swear that they've experienced this haunting. And what we found out was that the desk drawer would mysteriously be open a lot of times in the morning when we came back. Well, when I started cleaning up the office and rearranging, I realized that the desk itself was not very level, and that drawer happened to be very easily open. And then one of my other ladies, you got to understand, with the idea that this is haunted, and they've accepted that it's haunted, we came in on a Monday, which is normally a day that we're closed, to do some general cleaning and kind of freshen up the museum. And as you walk around, you can see that we have a lot of mannequins on display. And they're just creepy in general as it is. But one of the mannequins is sitting down at a desk downstairs in the old firehouse, and she was vacuuming, and the vacuum obviously is pretty loud. She didn't realize that she hit the mannequin's arm with the wand, and that mannequin's arm swung around and hit her in the back of the leg when she wasn't looking, and she knew she was the only one in that area. that was an amazing blood-curdling scream that I've heard. So, like I said, I haven't experienced anything else. I have not experienced anything myself, but we've done some research, and there's plenty of articles about the hauntings that have taken place here. We have four apartment buildings behind us. The tenants have told me that they've experienced unusual activity. The two ladies that work here told me they experienced unusual activity. So, like I said, it's not that I do or don't believe in these things. It's like, I think some of these probably have a very logical, scientific reason why they're happening. But, you know, like Sherlock Holmes says, when you remove all other things that it can be.
That 1% that you can't figure out.
Right.
And that's the intrigue about it. It keeps bringing us back to this. You know, keeps wanting us to find out more, sit in a dark building for hours and waiting for a tick or a sound.
I'm not going to lie. When you're here by yourself in the firehouse, and sometimes I'm here working on responding to emails and doing other things, and you hear a creak, it makes the hair on your neck stand up a little bit, you know? So,
hello, who's there?
Exactly.
Expecting to see a fireman walking by.
I hope not.
We always say lots of times when people go on their ghost hunts and that, they keep calling for the spirits, calling for, come talk to us, come talk to us. And when they show up, they run out of the building, you know?
Right. I totally understand that.
But yeah, let's talk a little bit about the Paracon. This is an awesome idea. I love, like I mentioned to you earlier, when I first heard that you were doing it, I was like, I'm all in. I love this place. It's going to be Saturday, December 8th from 6 to midnight, and then they're going to have the ghost hunt afterwards.
Correct.
It's at 110 West Cross Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan, 48197. So it's easy to find. Basically, you just go off the expressway, stay on the road that they put you on, and you run right into the front door.
That's right.
The convention runs from 6 p.m. to midnight, and then the VIP ghost hunt afterwards. Let's talk a little bit about the VIPs.
Okay.
Basically, what do they get?
Okay. So the VIPs, talking again to some of the people that came out here for the paranormal investigations originally, I asked them, you know, like, what do you guys look for when you come out for these things? What is ideal situation, I guess, or, you know, and what I learned, and again, I'm on a big learning curve on this, all right? So what the VIPs get is they gain access from the general convention from 6 till midnight.
Okay.
And obviously we have some vendors, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Then after that, the main group of the general convention people will leave, and it's a very small group. We're really trying to limit the number of VIPs down to about 50.
Okay.
And the reason I want to do that is I want to have a small, intimate group with the talents that we're bringing in to lead those groups and to kind of explore the museum. And the nice thing is that if we can keep it down to a small group and we have two or three talents in here, we can break those groups up into approximately 20 people. And as you're sitting here, you know the size of this museum. That would allow us to let the groups have free rein and roam around the building without really interfering or bumping into each other for some time.
That's always a great thing.
Which that was one of the things that they said that that's a really good thing to have. Mm-hmm. So, and I think one of the more important things that the VIPs get is they get kind of like a little bit of exclusive time with these talents that we're bringing in, you know, so.
Yeah, that's great. Tickets will be available at the door, but like we were talking earlier, they're going fast, folks.
So they are going fast.
Online and get the tickets online instead of waiting at the door, because you may show up and all tickets are gone. Sorry.
We can't guarantee, put it this way, we'd like to sell tickets at the door, but we can't guarantee that they'll be available because they are moving pretty quickly.
Yeah. One thing is, where is the parking at?
Okay, parking in Ypsilanti right now is a challenge to most businesses, and we are not exclusive on that. Our street parking out in front of our firehouse in Washington is non-paid, so you don't have to pay. You can park on the street, and some of the surrounding neighborhoods are you know, free. If we have a big overflow, obviously you can park down at Frog Park and Riverside Park. We're one block away.
Yeah,
we're right up the street. It's not that far. And then also we do have a good working relationship with the funeral home directly across the street and the church. And all I have to do is make sure that they don't have an event going on at that time. Mm-hmm. And they usually will allow us to use their parking lots. So the people that do come, I would recommend if you have friends, carpool, you know, for various reasons, but one of us is, you know, not have some cars over here. And then, like I said, if you got to park down by Frog Park, it's a block walk, and you'll walk into a nice, warm, cozy building. So
yeah, and it's nice too. And also, there's a lot of businesses around.
Correct.
And I know we were mentioning earlier about how during the speakers, you're going to have a little break where people can go out and check out different places around town, because there's some awesome locations.
There is.
Great restaurants. I'm telling you, if you come to the event, come early and visit some of the places that are going to be closed at night. Because mm-hmm. I know for a fact, like there's a building down this by the park. It's an antique store that I love to go to. And I know a lot of you guys out there that are listening to this love old stuff. That's why you're coming to the Firehouse Museum. And to walk in there and just look at some of these stuff from some of the old homes and that, it's just beautiful. But I know that during the Paracon, a lot of the restaurants and that are welcoming the people that are coming to the Paracon.
Correct. I've actually been speaking with a lot of the managers and some of the owners of the various restaurants and bars, and actually some of the antique shops. Actually, I was walking around down today talking to them, and they're pretty excited about this event. And the restaurants and bars are obviously very excited about this. One restaurant is going to try to offer a special happy hour during the convention in between speakers. There's other restaurants that are going to be looking at special menu items just for this event. If you can come in early, like you said, they would love that business. There's fantastic restaurants. They're not your big chain restaurants. They're mom and pop, good cooking restaurants. And the stores are very unique. They're the small town mom pop stores that have the unusual that you don't find in the big chains. And I think that people that come will enjoy an easy walk 2 to 3 blocks down in either direction, either Depot Town, downtown Michigan Avenue, Ipsy, or just up the street here near Eastern Michigan University. There's no direction you can go where you're not going to find some great food and great drinks. And we are working closely with our community to make this a community event, not just a Michigan Firehouse Museum event.
And that's like you're saying, the restaurants are there, are excited about the event coming because it brings people down to Depot Town that have never been here before.
Correct.
And once you come, you're going to come again because you're going to love it. You know.
And actually, it's really funny. I spoke with you a little while ago about talking to the business owners down there as we talk about the Paracon. I start, and it's really kind of funny to me that, you know, all of a sudden I'm getting a plethora of stories of different unusual events. And like I said, there's the story of Miller's Cat, which is very interesting to me because it's apparently a ghost of a cat that is in the area that used to belong to some man. I don't know the story in full, but what I really want people to do is I'm encouraging them to go onto our Facebook site at Michigan Firehouse Museum, click on the Paracon event page, and post those stories, because I think that if we have the level of success that we're expecting for this Paracon, that next year our Paracon could probably expand into a weekend event that I would love to be able to not just base it solely off the Michigan Firehouse Museum, but maybe like a downtown Ypsilanti entire weekend event that we can base around the paranormal activity of the area.
Yeah, because there's stories everywhere.
Correct.
And it's amazing when people find out that you're into this, I want to say, or that, like, I've actually had a garage sale where people and more people talked about their hauntings than actually were at the thing, but they love talking about it. And having a Paracon opens up that avenue so that people can talk about it. You know, maybe they're afraid to talk about it, you know, and it brings them to an event where there's crazy people just like they are.
Right. Yep.
So what should the people expect? I know we talked about this earlier, but basically, as I see it, it's a chance to come to a Paracon that's a lot different than a lot of the other ones, because you are coming to a historic location. Mm-hmm. You know, and history is everything.
Correct. I would say that what the guests are going to experience here is going to be very different than probably most other Paracons. Mm-hmm. And you alluded to the fact that we are a historical site. They're coming to the 1898 firehouse. It's a 120-year-old building. So it has a lot of history. It's seen a lot, the building. The people in it have seen a lot. You're dealing with a profession that, unfortunately, at times has seen a lot of trauma and seen some destruction. And I think that may be part of the lure of this.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're getting to experience an old firehouse. You're getting to experience old fire equipment that has seen action. I mean, we have old Detroit number 13 steamer down here. That thing has seen a ton of action. We have old SCBAs, old hand tools. We have a lot of stuff here that just has a lot of intrinsic history and experience that those items themselves have been through.
Yeah. And we all know that energy absorbs into items. Mm-hmm. So during the ghost hunt, who knows what they're going to come up with.
Correct. I don't know what they're going to find. I would love for anybody that comes to this thing, if they have an experience or they find something, again, I welcome, let's put it out there and get more people excited about it. Mm-hmm. And let's really make this a big event next year.
Yeah.
One of the things I would like to talk about real fast, if you don't mind, is you mentioned parking. One of the things that I want to bring up, when people do come to the Paracon, what I'd request is that they be cognitive of the fact that we do have four apartments behind the building and they are occupied.
Yeah.
And I've already spoke to the tenants to let them know that we're going to be having this event. But when they do come to the museum, I'd really prefer them to use the cross street entrance, which is our main entrance.
All right.
And we are going to actually set a tent up outside also for people that would like to go outside and smoke. There will be no smoking inside the building, definitely. Obviously. And that goes for vaping cigarettes, regular cigarettes, cigars, pipes, and unfortunately, no burning of sage in the museum and no live fires at your vendor tables. So I would just ask that people, when they do come, be respectful of the properties behind the museum.
Yeah, definitely. And the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, correct. The whole neighborhood, too.
Don't whoop it out too loud at night. Let's talk a little bit about speakers. You got some great speakers coming. You got Stephanie Burke, you got Scott Porter, John Tenney, and a new arrival, the fabulous Tim Woolworth.
Yeah, I actually, Tim Woolworth reached out to me yesterday. We had some discussions through Facebook, and I'm super excited the fact that I have a Ypsilanti-based person that's very interested in coming here and helping promote this and be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the speakers, I've had some contact with Stephanie through Messenger, and you know, I understand she's out of Rhode Island, and she's very popular, and I'm very excited to have her in. Also, Scott Porter coming from Tennessee, and that's going to be a great experience for us to have these people in house. And I've heard a lot about John Tenney in this area, and again, I feel I'm very fortunate to get the level of talent that's coming in for this inaugural event. I think it's going to put us on the right trajectory.
And if you haven't heard of the speakers, you're probably living under a rock, but Stephanie Burke, she's an awesome psychic medium. She's a Reiki master. She's a teacher. She's a co-host of a lot of different shows. She's been on TLC. A lot of people have seen her, and when I was setting up for this interview, I did look at some of her work, and because I really didn't know who she was at first, and once I started looking at her videos, and then I'm like, oh, I know her, you know. Scott Porter, another awesome person. He's like a profiler, they call it. He does a lot of research on historic items, historic places, and that. So his speech is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And then John Tenney, who knows what he's going to bring, you know? But I guarantee you're going to be in awe when John Tenney's awesome. I had a great time. We were up in at a UFO conference. And I got the chance just to sit next to him and talk. And we talked for hours about just stuff. And it's just so interesting. So you'll be blown away when you actually get to listen to
that's,
it.
That's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
And then Tim. Tim's awesome, too. I've heard him speak a few times. And just a gamut here. You got four of the top speakers in the country coming to an event that in a historic place. It's going to be awesome.
I hope it's an amazing success. I, again, am very thankful for the initial like recon team that came out here. Being a new director of this museum, I am looking at things that we can do to branch out into new vendors and new, I'm sorry, not new vendors, but new new visitors to the museum. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to expand our customer base and also to allow people in that have a very unique subculture that maybe is not understood as well as it should be, and to have them come in here and experience the museum and Ypsi in general. And one of the things I love is that when I first came here, I don't know, I'm sure you saw that the t-shirts and the signs that say keep Ypsi weird.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to try to do my part on that one. And I'm really excited about this. And when you do come to the museum, you'll see the layout. I think the layout of the museum is extremely conducive to this type of event. We're able to have the space to host it. We're able to have the acoustics in the building where I believe everybody will be able to clearly understand the speakers. The vendors we're going to be having are some very unique vendors. Yeah. And I like the fact that there are a lot of them are local Ypsi vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So
a great variety.
Excellent variety.
It's just not going to be the same. You're not going to have just the same vendor over and over and over. You'll be able to come in. And what's great about the vendors, too, is they're all welcoming, and they want you to talk to them. They want you to come up and say things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just here, buy my stuff. Come and talk to me. That's, learn. And
I think what you're going to have is a very unique evening full of some very in-depth and different discussions. Mm-hmm. You're going to have an evening of four stellar speakers that are going to wow the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a great time.
And that's what's nice, too, is it's in the evening,
mm-hmm.
which is different. You don't have to worry about getting up at 6 in the morning for the event. But what also, like we mentioned, I know we mentioned it a few times, but the businesses around the area, they'll mm-hmm. be open. You'll be able to mingle, you know?
And the nice thing is when you do come, and I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but when you do come to the museum, you're going to be given a wristband.
Mm-hmm.
We will not be having food in the museum. Obviously, it's a museum. We don't really want to have a lot of food in around and about. However, we really want to encourage people to go out and experience the area. Mm-hmm. And we welcome people to come in and out.
Yeah. And as a VIP, one of the great parts of being a VIP is you're going to have the ghost hunt.
Correct.
From midnight to 3 a.m., the witching hour, as they say.
That's right. That's kind of why we put it that way, right?
Yeah. So those tickets are going fast, too.
They're almost gone. So, like I said, if you are serious about coming to this event and you want the VIP, I would highly recommend you get online and get those tickets.
Well, I want to thank you for letting me stop by here and talking to you about the event.
No problem. I look forward to coming back on that night.
Yes, and the speakers are going to be awesome. I'm so excited about this event. All right, folks. So next weekend, be here December 8th at the Old Firehouse Museum, 110 West Cross Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan. Get here early. Get your tickets online before you come here because they're almost guaranteed going to be sold out. So be prepared. And like I said, thank you a lot. I mean, this is such an honor to be here, and it's nice to meet you finally after talking to you online a few times. And just we're going to enjoy the event.
Awesome. I look forward to it, and I can't wait.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, another good interview. I think the show is going to be fun.
It's going to be a really fun time. You know, it's centrally located, so if everybody's in, northwestern Ohio, mm-hmm. southeastern Michigan, or Indiana, come on out. It's going to be really, really fun. And if you haven't heard John Tenney speak, he's a hoot.
Yeah, it's worth it just for John Tenney.
Yeah, he's fun. And historic location. Yeah. So, it's going to be
a historic neighborhood, actually.
Yeah. It's if you guys aren't familiar where Ypsilanti is, it's next to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Go to Ann Arbor and turn the other way.
That's right.
So anyways, thanks for tuning in. One thing, now that the holidays are coming up, you're going to need shoes. Get on Jen's Poshmark page. And Jen, if someone wanted to get a hold of your Poshmark page, where would they go?
So you go to Poshmark and then you would type in @ HAPPIE 22. And, have lots of really cool stuff, merchandise for sale, and check it out. But if you're in the mood for some ghost hunting equipment, you can go to our website, www.222paranormal.com. Go on the shop here link. There are links to the books for people that we've interviewed on the show, which makes great presents, mm-hmm. instead of something, just random off the shelf. Get something that, related to the paranormal.
That's all linked to Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to shop, might as well go and click on the links on the book.
Yeah, go through our website.
Buy the book, and any other shopping you do, a tiny, tiny little portion of it comes back to the show, and it definitely helps us out.
Yeah, so, definitely go to our website,
uh-huh.
do a little shopping. There's some links to GhostStop and Amazon on there, and, who wouldn't want some paranormal equipment for Christmas? Like, what could be better? Oh, well.
Yes.
I have a list, Santa.
Well, like we say every week, please, please, wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe.
Yes.
Leave us a comment. And tune in next week. It's going to be a sinking show.
Ooh,
a scary sinking
show. Ooh, scary. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later, and have a great week.